Welcome to the Ethics Experts, where we're elevating ethics and compliance and HR to the strategic level it's supposed to be.
Hey everybody, how's it going? This is the Ethics Experts. If it's your first time joining us, welcome. And if you are a returning subscriber, hey, how's it going? Hope you're having an amazing day, friend. See what happens when you subscribe to the Ethics Experts? You get a bonus greeting on every single episode. So hit that subscribe button. Join us every week as we talk to more and more interesting folks. Today, I have one of my favorite people ever, Lorena Acosta. Lorena, how are you?
Hey, how are you, Nick?
So if you don't know Lorena...
I'm excited to be here.
I'm so excited. Yeah, I'm super excited as well. So if you don't know Lorena, you need to get out from underneath the rock that you're sleeping in under and check her out on LinkedIn. You're probably the most prolific LinkedIn thought leader that I know. You have more followers than I've ever seen anybody else who's not named Elon Musk or Tony Robbins. You have over a million followers, and it's all built organically. And you and I kind of became friends over the last couple of years. I've learned so much from you and, you know, just value our relationship so much. And I was super excited to get you on to the Ethics Experts because I think a lot of what you do and what you're an expert in can be borrowed from by the folks who listen to this podcast to elevate themselves within, not only within their company to sort of play the game better, but also elevate them across the board or, you know, throughout the market by being more public and, you know, talking about personal branding and talking about those things. And those are a lot of the techniques that I think somebody who's out of work or in between jobs or who got laid off because of COVID or whatever else, if they can capture even a little bit of that lightning in a bottle, they can really elevate their role and their impact and, you know, accelerate toward that next job. So thank you so much for joining us. Why don't we just dive in? Beautiful background, by the way. Why don't we dive in? How did you get into this personal branding game? You have a business where you help folks with their LinkedIn presence. You help them sell online, sell their company, sell themselves and things like that. How did you go from having no followers on LinkedIn at some point in time to now one of the biggest followings out of anybody that's on the platform?
You know, first of all, thank you so much for inviting me, Nick. But, you know, when people ask me that question, that how do I get to get 1.5 million of followers, you know, it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make me feel a different person. You know, actually, it humbles me that so many people, you know, follow my thoughts, you know, and that's the proof that what I'm saying. So when you know how to dial your messaging, the people that really resonate with your values, with your beliefs, for what you stand for and who you are as a human being, is the people that is going to start supporting you. And that's the people that is going to start hiring you. And that's the people that you want to work with.
Right.
In the end of the day.
Why do you think that's like, you know, whenever I have somebody on like you who's an expert in something, they always have these nuggets like you just gave, and they're always so they're so profound, yet they're so simple. Why do people not understand what you're talking about, and why do so many people get that thing wrong?
Because they don't have a purpose. So when you just jump in, it's like when you just jump into any business without knowledge, without a strategy, without the structure, what is going to happen to that business?
Yeah, nothing.
Exactly. So when you jump on social media and you don't follow through really to develop a community that is aligned with what you believe, I mean, it's not going to work.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I was talking to a client that he wants to start branding for companies, right, that he owns. I told him it's time for you to come out. You need to come out and you need to talk about who you are.
Right.
And what is the story, you know, behind you for brands? You need to start developing your personal brand because people need to fall in love with the brand.
Right.
And then buy whatever you sell because the story, because who you are, you know, you are the one is behind the brand.
Right.
So your values, your integrity, your character, your skills, your leadership is going to show up and it's going to talk about what your brand stands for and who you are as a leader for your company.
Right. I think a lot of people just think of themselves as a person and not a brand. How do you bridge that personal branding thing to an individual versus a company? And how do we reframe that for folks who are timid to step out into LinkedIn and put themselves out there?
You know, there is two types, right? So there is the corporate branding that most of the people has on LinkedIn, which is very credible. I mean, I was one of them, you know, for many years, and it was just a profile right there sharing some, you know, things that I found on the internet, you know, sharing news or something, but that's it, right?
Right.
And there is the other branding, which is the real personal branding, you know, what you share, you know, under whatever policies you are working or not, or who you are as a human being, whatever you need to share. And, you know, and really develop that intimacy with your audience that in the end of the day, you are developing little by little your own community. Right. And if that's people that will be loyal to you, and you will be loyal to them, because not because you are in the same group or you're in the same community.
Right.
It is because you get to know each other and your values also align.
Right.
This is something that I've been talking for so long, you know, and, you know, I don't have to keep saying and repeating. I mean, see my numbers.
Right. Yeah. The proof
is working.
Yeah. The proof is in the numbers. When you're talking to clients, so, you know, let's just paint like an archetype that may be listening to this. They're maybe more introverted and they maybe don't have a sales background and they're less adept at sort of playing the political game or whatever the game is. What would you tell somebody like that who, again, you go to their activity section on their LinkedIn and there's not even likes? You know what I'm saying? There's not. There's definitely not posts. There's not articles. What would you tell them to, you know, what would you tell them in terms of like getting started to kicking it off?
First of all, you know, I'm an extrovert. So being an extrovert, I was struggling to get out.
Okay. Interesting.
So this is something that is not easy for everybody, right? So everybody needs to be ready to take this step and start going, you know, and start posting. But also stories like the one I just posted today about how I start my business on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
You know, and with what I start my business on LinkedIn, you know, and what is what I had when I start my business on LinkedIn. So those kind of posts, you know, is motivate the audience and also, you know, inspire the audience, right? It makes sense, Nick?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And I think we all kind of have this imposter syndrome and we all have this feeling like I'm the only one going through this or I'm the only one struggling with this. But what I've seen, you know, and as I've seen you do, when you share something real and something authentic, it ends up resonating with people because really a lot of people are probably feeling the way that you're feeling. And just knowing that safety net is there is makes it easy to jump
you
out into it.
You need to become relatable in social media. Forget about all these titles.
Yeah.
Forget about all these, you know, titles or whatever. I mean, we all are human beings and we are here to connect to each other.
Yeah.
Not for titles. Because in the end of the day, your title tomorrow can disappear like many of them disappeared last year.
Yeah, right.
And they become nothing in social media because they didn't care about promoting themselves, to engaging with people, to get to know other people, and to really be part of the community. They need to understand that social media now become a community, a huge community. You need to choose what channel and what platform fits better your needs and your character.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point. And the proof is, again, in the pudding. Like the people who are in the ethics and compliance game, the people who are in the HR game, who tend to be the most successful, the ones who are the biggest thought leaders, they're the ones out there utilizing this opportunity that is LinkedIn, that is social media, where they're putting out content, they're adding value to people, they're sharing things about themselves, about their career, whatever, that, again, helps to build that community, helps to push them toward that
I mean, that I'm just going to give you an example.
Yeah.
Let's say that you are the director or the VIP, the vice president, the CFO, any big organization, and you're trying to hire people. How do you want me to go and say, okay, let me go and see? Now people is afraid to even be hired, but any company.
Right.
People need to be sure that that company, you know, is aligned with their values as well.
Great point.
you need to understand that, Nick. I mean, companies now need to really follow what they promise.
Yeah.
Not only to the clients, but to their employees.
Well, that's a great point because, you know, we talk a lot about the external brand, and that's the marketing and that's the commercials and those are the posts on social by an organization. That external brand that everybody sees used to be very different and separate from the internal brand or the employee experience. And I think as this generational shift has occurred and continues, that distance between that external brand and that internal brand, which is really encapsulates the culture and really is encapsulates the employee experience, that's one thing. These are different sides of the same coin. And given how mobile labor is now, that you can get a job on the other side of the country and you can work remotely with a team that you've never met face to face, all these things make it increasingly more important, to your point, for the organization to be cohesive and be authentic with the image that they put out relative to what people inside the company are feeling. Because guess what? There's Glassdoor, that's Yelp for companies. There's Twitter, where that's a comment box, that's a public comment box that a disgruntled employee can speak to. So to your point, the companies that I think get that right are going to be the ones that separate from those that are just kind of paying lip service to this whole game, you know?
But they are on LinkedIn. They're on LinkedIn reading you, reading me, and read all and watching videos and liking content. Why not to start positioning themselves?
Right.
Why they don't start, you know, really become a human being? You know, because there is a lot of people, you know, part of the thing that I'm here for is because I need to share my experiences with other people.
Yeah.
I want other people to enjoy what I did enjoy in my life.
Right.
You know, I don't talk a lot about the bad things because really I didn't have a lot of bad life. You know, I mean, thank God.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't have a lot of memories of bad memories. So most of my memories are things that I enjoy.
Yeah.
So, and how do I get there? And what were my fears? And what were my struggles? And what were stopping me, you know? So
Right. There
is a lot of people who really resonate with this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't share things. I don't share about my private life, if I'm single, if I'm not single, if I have a man affair, because that's nobody else's business except me.
Right.
You know, but the rest of the things, I mean, I share them. Why not?
Yeah, well, you share them because I think you're comfortable in yourself. And I think you have a purpose in those shares it's an other's focus. What I see a lot of people get wrong, I think, on social is being so self-focused. They're focused on self-adulation or tooting their own horn or whatever those things are.
Yeah,
that's not adding value to anybody, to your point.
You know, I will tell you one thing. I mean, Brené Brown says that, you know, being vulnerable, it doesn't make you feel, it doesn't make you weak. It makes you strong. And it's true. When you share your story, I mean, I have shared so many stories that when I have written them, I cry because, you know, it makes me remember the past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and many people, when they read them, they cry because my story also touched them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I'm talking about. You need to write things, not only that they are going to be related to your work, because then you will lose the interest from another audience. You need to learn to manage multiple audiences with one post.
And how do you actually do that? How does that actually occur?
Well, you need to think about who's going to be the people that you want to listen to your message to begin with, right? What are the struggles of that people is going through right now?
Right.
You know, what are the things that they are facing, right? So if you are a realtor per se, right, and you want to help people to buy a new home, there is a lot of families right now who are thinking to buy a house for many reasons, because they may lose their job. So they want to buy a house before they lose a job so they can get the mortgage.
Right.
For many other reasons, there is many families who want to buy their houses.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So what it will be best to tell all those families who are insecure about buying it now or not? You're going to tell them a truth, right? And what is the truth right now? Here in Florida, the inflation of the real estate went so high that right now it's very hard for people to buy a house right now because you the owners of the house start having a lot of offers.
Right.
So it's been hard. So you need to bring a solution for that those families
right.
who are really, you know? You need to learn how to target them. You need to talk about what they're going through and how you can solve the problem. You need to do that. You need to bring as well stories.
Yeah, and we all have stories.
Relatable.
Yeah, we all have these stories. We all have these tough times in our life. We've all have something that we've learned. We've all had those moments where we felt stupid or we felt hopeless or whatever. Capturing a bit of that and speaking into your audience or social or whatever on how you got up out of that is a very, it's a very kind of quick way to like humanize yourself and make a connection. You know what I'm saying?
Why not humanize yourself?
Yeah, you're a human. Do it.
Why not? Exactly. Why not to become vulnerable? Why not? You know, I'm very happy because more and more and more people are sharing personal things on LinkedIn. And when they share them for the first time, they say, well, I know this is a professional website. This is the first thing they write in the line. They are apologizing to the whole platform for sharing their wedding pictures, for sharing their engagement pictures, for sharing their kids' graduation, for sharing their whatever personal. Nobody has to apologize.
Yeah, exactly.
Whoever believes, engages, and really aligns with the message that you post is going to engage on your content.
Right.
Because you are sharing a belief, period.
Right. So when you get a new client, what is that like? What is that process like? And what is the recurring theme of resistance that you're met with? I know you have a lot of really great exercises to get people, you know, comfortable jumping in the pool that is LinkedIn or that is social media. But what is that reticence that you see over and over and over again as you get more and more new clients and begin to, indoctrinate them into this approach?
Well, the biggest thing that I found out, and it's going to be, you know, it's sad to reveal this, you know, but sometimes they don't know who they are.
Oh.
It's not that they don't know exactly that they don't know, I mean, as a person.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we often, and I do, and you may do, and everybody does, forgot to do, you know, a deep cleaning in our conscience and our thoughts and in our values.
Yeah, we just go through life, you know? We're just exactly. Like putting one foot in front of the other. Yeah, right.
You forgot. But then you don't realize, you know, that really your behavior is changing because you change your values.
Yeah, the experiences that you go through affect exactly. you and you affect the world around you and you're constantly changing
exactly.
and evolving. That's a great point.
I mean, exactly. So, you know, so we go through a very deep, deep exercise with values, you know, and because it's important. Because from where you're not that, Nick, you've been in my class. I mean, from your values... It's from where your content is gonna come from.
Right.
I mean, it's the people that you really want to be aligned with you, because in the end of the day, you don't want to have a feed full of negativity.
Right.
You don't want to show up as an opinionist, and also you want to create a community that is gonna, you know, help other people with what you are gonna share.
Yeah, and if I can tag on to that. You know, the ethics and compliance community is this really unique community. It's not like the sales community. It's not like the marketing community. You know, those communities, they eat their young. So, you know, if you're a salesperson over at Pepsi, you're not reaching out to a salesperson over at Coca-Cola and saying, hey, how do you change your pitch for this situation? You're competing with these guys. This is a battle that's going on. In the ethics and compliance community, it's a much different scenario. You have the chief compliance officer of Pepsi reaching out to the one of Coke and saying, hey, what's working for you? What's not? Because we're all kind of fighting the same battle. And I'm just saying that to say this, that if this is like the easiest, this is the easiest community to be a part of to take advantage of a lot of the things you're talking about, because everybody is a smart person who cares. Everyone's trying to make a difference in their corner of the world. So those base values are already there. It's a very safe community to be yourself and step out into. And I think those who have done that will, you know, scream from the rooftops, like how easy it is and how successful it is and how many great relationships they've made, you know, kind of to your point. And so I'm just trying to encourage folks who might be listening to this to step out into there, write an article, start posting once a week, if that's something, you know, You don't have to put a picture up if you're not comfortable with that, but just start sharing and just start pushing yourself out there. Because listen, at the end of the day, you know, the B2B, the business to business sale analogy really works a lot here. Particularly, I think, for people who are maybe between jobs, because as you have said,
let me interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
But you were saying that B2B, as in right now, is H to H.
It's well, that's what I was going to say. That's exactly right. So just like in B2B, it's not a business buying something from a business. It's a person at that business buying something from another human being that they have a connection with. In just the same way, when somebody who's in between jobs, like that company that's looking for a new person, they're not looking for a chief compliance officer, or they're not looking for a particular title. They're looking for a human being with that title. And the more you can push yourself out there and humanize yourself, the quicker you can give little nuggets of who you are for folks, the more tailwinds you put toward accelerating toward that next position.
And also to don't fall for in the category that, you know, right now the word in LinkedIn of being authentic, it's been burnt out.
Yeah, it's a buzzword, you know, now that means nothing.
It's a buzzword. So to be honest with you, I mean, being authentic is not just to, it's not, you know, just to do whatever you want to do on social media. I mean, you're free to do so, but find the right platform, right?
Yeah.
So
where do you see people get that authenticity thing wrong?
From their own values.
Ah.
This is who you are.
Yeah.
I mean, because we live by our own values. Our values are what guide us through the daily life that we have.
Right.
You understand?
I do. It's, again.
It is not, you see how people confuse being authentic? I mean, being authentic with your own self first. You need to really review your values and see what you believe in and what you stand for.
Right.
Because you need to talk about that.
Right. So let's,
whatever you believe in.
So when did this light bulb turn on for you? I know you have a really interesting story, which I'd love to get into in a second, but where did this basis of values forward approach come from? And when did your light bulb turn on to turn this into a business that you could like replicate with other folks, like a formula, like you've built some kind of a formula that you teach other people, you know, with? When did that light bulb turn on and how did that formulation come together?
Well, I want to be humble, but that light has never turned off or on. I mean, I had it always. It's part of who I am as a human being. So those are the things that I have been carrying with me in my life. This is the way that I have served for the companies that I have worked. And this is the customer service and the promise that each of my clients has get from me, you know, during the time that I've been selling.
So it was kind of that. You were very successful in the sales game. And at some point you were able to look at what the basis of that success was. And it was really these personal connections that you're very good at making very quickly. And I think as we unpack those connections, to your point, it's always a values thing. It's some kind of an overlap and some kind of an ethos overlap with respect to how we look at the world or how we go through the world or how we prioritize.
You have to start from there, Nick. And after you define those things and you really, you know, I have clients who has made very, very difficult choices during my coaching because they really dig into their values.
So what's an example of that? You don't have to name a name, but tell me about like a scenario where you did this sort of deep work with somebody and they had to overcome something or, you know, kind of had to transform themselves during that process.
I can't talk about this.
Okay. All right. Let me ask it a different way. No, I'm kidding. It's a very revealing process when you dive deep with somebody.
It is. And it's very good for them. And they enjoy it very much because
they enjoy the outcome. Sometimes in the midst of it, I'm sure it's very, difficult because you're unpacking things, you know?
Yes. Sometimes they take very long to really complete the first step of the first module of the course.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes I have to pull them like children in kindergarten, you know,
and finally do it.
You know, because sometimes, you know, they have internal problems.
Mm-hmm.
They are, you know, they have internal problems. Sometimes they have a self-belief that they don't allow them to really become who they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
So we struggle a little bit sometimes there, but you know, but besides that, you know, it's not a simple process.
Right.
Because you're going to rediscover who you are as a person. I mean, remember the values that my parents taught me when I was in the dinner table when I was little. Mm-hmm. I carried them with me, you know, until I was 17, probably.
Right.
When I was 17, I was like, really?
Yeah, gotta go.
So I have my own values, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, when I went to college, I had my own values. And when I get my first job, my values changed. And when I left my country, my values changed. And every time I traveled, my values change. And every time I meet a new culture, my values change. So your life starts fulfilling with different values. But which one of those values you stand up for today?
Yeah, and put that out there. And don't be scared to do it.
One of those values?
Yeah. Where does your boldness come from? Because it's not fake. Yeah. It's authentic boldness, it feels like.
Yes.
You're just a very bold person. You're a very confident person. Where, if you could trace it back, where does that come from?
Yeah, well, you know, that boldness really created a lot of problems when I was young.
Oh, did it?
Because people was not used to have somebody like me in front of them. Mm-hmm. So it was hard because I was a woman. I was a Latin woman. You know, I was young. Mm-hmm. But I was smart, so it was very difficult, right?
Yeah, I think people get intimidated by that, particularly yes. Men. I think get intimidated by that.
Yeah, well, at work, you know, often happen.
Yeah.
But also that helped me to become successful while I was become a closer, right? What right. I was being a closer.
Right. So why don't we talk about that? Why don't we talk about your broader story? Because I think you have a very inspiring story. On how you came to be where you're at now.
Well, you know, I had a job in a company that I really loved very much, and I loved the company, and it was home for me, that company. But I was not happy anymore with the treatment that I was receiving from one of the head leaders, so I resigned, and I didn't have a job. It was the December 28th. And I was like, I never thought about my insurance. And you know, I was 2 days away to lose my insurance, my health insurance. And I want, you know, I'm a single mom. So I was worried. So, you know, after I resigned, I just came home, I cried, you know, and I went to LinkedIn to trying to start to reconnect with people that I worked in the past.
Yeah.
Because that job was the first job that I have after I get divorced, right? Mm-hmm. So it was very hard for me because most of the people who was on LinkedIn was not connected on LinkedIn. So probably all the messages that I was sending, you know, were in the junk mail and they never received it. So you know, I was going through, I was concerned about the situation. 2 weeks later, I was hired by another company because the recruiters start contacting me and I start going to different interviews. So I didn't have a problem for a job anymore, but you know, those 2 weeks of uncertainty and stress, you know, really taught me that, you know, I've been branding corporations for 32 years and talking about them and their product and give them testimonies about what is happening and you know, and just be there, you know, why not to do it for myself?
Right.
Why not to talk about who I am? Why not to share my knowledge? Why not to share my experience with the youngest? Why not to share my experience with the single moms? Why not to share my experience for the parents because I'm a parent, right? So why not to share my experience in sales? You know, why not? Everybody should.
Yeah, I know. I know they should. There's so much magic.
I mean, how do you want to be remembered?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I think.
I want, you know, if I die one day, I want, you know, people to remember that I at least I did something in their life to make it better. That's enough.
Yeah, that's enough. But again, there's a purpose. There's a purposefulness or there's an intentionality behind it for that to happen on a consistent basis. You know what I'm saying? And I think many of us get so caught up with the day-to-day of life and our fears and just, like I said, putting one foot in front of the other that I'm gonna say something carve that room out.
I'm gonna share with you something that I have never shared before public.
Ooh, an ethics expert's exclusive.
Yes, but but you know, every day I realize that really God, the universe, or whatever you call it, you know, it's really watching over. You know, it's just you know, when I start on LinkedIn, I start posting little by little, but there was a bigger force than me that were really pushing me to continue posting on LinkedIn and be on LinkedIn, specifically on LinkedIn. And I was posting and I was engaging, and then I was thinking, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Why am I doing this? You know, so I was like, you know, I was wondering why I continue doing this, right? Why? So until, you know, my mom told me, you know, sometimes it happens and you just have to move forward. And I did listen and I moved forward, you know, without having a direction. Yeah. I was just scared, Nick, in the car, and the car was taking me, I swear.
It just took you there.
Yes. So the nice part of this journey is that many people has followed it and they have witnessed how do I start and where I am today. And that they have also, they know that I have changed who I am.
Right. You know, that you brought them on that journey with you.
Yes. So because it's for me, it's not my journey, because all of them are part of this journey.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So they're enjoying it. So when they see me winning, they enjoy that.
Right.
They share up, you know, that they're kind. And when they're winning, I'm kind with them too.
Yeah, right.
Because we all want to be clapped.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, that's right. At what point did you hit that tipping point where it all kind of started to come together and all kind of started to make sense for you? You know, because, you know, you had that 2-week period, then you started this new job and you felt this kind of drive to move forward. It obviously took a while to get to almost 2 million followers on LinkedIn, 100% organic, by the way.
You know, at that time, you know, we were having an election, and it was very ugly to see the fights between the two parties. And so I thought that I need to start posting things that they are going to heal the people, right? That they are going to make them feel better. So I start posting things about to focus themselves in their mind, not in the mind of others, because in the end of the day, we carry with those thoughts, you know, 24 hours, you know,
up to
30 days in your subconscious mind.
Right.
So why are you going to collect in your subconscious mind thoughts that you don't want them to be there for 30 days? Right? So
why walk in the mud, you know?
Exactly. So I start talking about that, and I start talking about mindfulness, you know, and I start talking about things that I believe, you know, and, you know, people that believe in those things also start following me.
Right.
And then I start talking about leadership. And then I start talking about, I start sharing a lot of trips, videos for traveling.
Yeah, right. Because I love those videos.
I was in the industry of traveling industry. So I was sharing all these videos. So many people, you know, start asking me if I'm a travel agency, if I have worked for a travel agency. People start offering me jobs, you know, and I was like, no, hold on, I have a job, it's just a video, you know, I don't know what to tell you that it is, you know, I didn't know.
Yeah.
So then, you know, people start asking me if I could help them to brand themselves. And I was like, wow. So, you know, until now people, you know, send me messages and says, you know, I read your profile and I just want to say that I'm very impressive for the work that you have done during all these years.
Amazing.
You know, so it's nice to be recognized from somebody that you don't even know.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, I think that's kind of the point. You know, when you're putting positivity out in the world, you don't always get that feedback immediately on, you know, whether that landed, or if you put a tip up for somebody who's struggling with something, you don't know how many people see it. You don't know how many people digest it and implement it.
Exactly. And,
you know, it's just kind of nice to be spreading that goodness out there into the world, because it all ends up kind of coming back to you. And the end is that what you found in your own life?
Yeah. Well, sometimes, you know, everybody have haters, right?
No. You only have haters if you're doing something right. That's what I say.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's been a beautiful journey. I have met a lot of wonderful people like you. I have rekindled with old clients from the old industry. Mm-hmm. Well, they found me on LinkedIn and they become my clients again and my friends, you know. I'm here to make a change.
Yeah.
You know, we need to start asking ourselves if we're just existing or we want to become a change makers, because, you know, the changes start within and is what we all should be having doing.
Yeah, we all should be doing it.
We all should be, you know, be doing that, you know, like be really not just to think how much you're going to make or how much your company is going to make, how much you're going to give to another group or organization who is in need.
Right.
Because to be honest with you, Nick, right now I'm trying to purchase only things from companies that they are giving back to society.
Well, that's a great point, because I think that's becoming more and more common with folks. Just like you were saying, someone's not willing to commit their lives to an organization whose values don't resonate with them. More and more mm-hmm. people aren't even willing to give their dollars to an organization whose product they may or may not like if those values don't resonate with them. So there's just we're in a very interesting time where there's a very unique, probably time-bound opportunity to really put those values out in an authentic way. To take advantage of the opportunity that's at hand, you know?
Definitely. I mean, the whole organization have to live and breathe the brand.
Right.
So they can transfer all that love and values and loyalty and customer service to the giant of social media.
Right. So let's kind of get super tactical now. And I want to talk about this in the context of somebody who is in between jobs. They're a smart person who cares. They got a great background. Mm-hmm. They're getting interviews, but they're not getting that next step. So this doesn't necessarily need to be, a coaching on how to interview better. I'd like to kind of pick your brain on, let's kind of develop a high level strategy for somebody who's in this boat. They've been out of work for a few months. They're looking for that right opportunity. What kind of things could they be doing using social in an authentic or thoughtful, intentional way to help accelerate them to that new job?
I will write a post or two posts or three different posts about who he is as a person.
Okay.
And this story, a brief story of what is happening in his life, and to request whoever is seeing that post to engage or to share it.
Very simple.
Yes.
It's just putting yourself out there. I mean, there's yes. so many people in the broader community, but also in this ethics and compliance and HR community, who are really trying to help other folks. And we have an opportunity to take advantage of it. And it's just...
But I'm going to tell you something else.
Okay.
Right now, most of the HRs or recruiters are looking for somebody who has a brand.
Well, there you go. They're going to check you out on social, to your point. They're going to check you.
I had a client who was applying for a big, big position. And that client couldn't get the position. And the recruiter told him that this is because he didn't have any branding.
Wow.
And the other person, which was less prepared, had some branding. So they need somebody to represent, to be the thought leader in the company. So this is like a hello.
Yeah, exactly.
For anybody who's listening right now.
Again, it's such an opportunity. I just see so many people leave this opportunity on the table. They don't pick it up and run with it. And I mean, how interesting is that though? The person who was maybe better prepared, who was maybe better for the job, didn't get the job because somebody else had more facets on their shape. They had more information out there so that a recruiter or a hiring manager or whatever could get a better sense of who this person was. I mean, that's the game here, right?
And this is what happened to most of the people, Nick. You work for a corporation, you are under shadow of the corporation.
Right.
You are the one is making the corporation to move, but the corporation doesn't share your information. So nothing that is happening is recognizable except in your
Phenomenal
checks.
Phenomenal point.
Except in your checks. So when they fire you, right? Or something happened like COVID, right? you don't have any branding, and you are 52, 53, you know, 49, 47 or younger, you know, doesn't matter what age you are, you lost your job and you have no branding and you are going desperate, sending emails and asking people. And, you know, it's clear. People doesn't like to do that. Brand yourself. And really, by branding yourself, people is going to really start reading their posts, watching who they are, and see if who they represent. Because, like, people is concerned to just join any company to work in base of the culture. Companies as well are concerned to bring just anybody to damage the whole culture that they have, because their values are not aligned.
Phenomenal point. You know, I was kind of struck as you were talking just now. I was struck by, you know, think about before you buy something, whether it's a service, whether it's a, even if it's a new restaurant you're about to go to, you're going to do a bunch of research online. Like, we have so much information on our fingertips. Mm-hmm. To your point, you check reviews, you check Glassdoor, you look at all these different spots. This is really an opportunity. We're really talking about job security, not in the sense of your current job, but in your, you know, higher ability. You're increasing the opportunity and you're increasing the odds that you're going to land at a new position a lot quicker when you have good data and good information out there about who you are. Again, starting with your core, your ethos, your values.
But if you start writing things, very bad things, calling people 100%. Names, you know, damaging your name, don't cry for me, Argentina.
Yeah, you do it to yourself, right? Like, if you can't sell your product.
Whatever you share on social media stays forever.
Tell me some more about that, because I think a lot of people don't understand that.
Yeah, I mean, I have my own opinions, right? I have my own opinions. And sometimes I will sound a little bit opinionist. But when I say my opinion, you know, I'm very clear.
It's right. Yeah, it's correct.
You know, I didn't want to say that, but thank you, Nick.
Yeah, well, I'm calling balls and strikes today. So, yeah.
So when I share my opinion, you know, I don't care if you like it or not. You know, this is what is happening. This is the fact, right? So I know that many people doesn't like it, doesn't engage, doesn't give like, but those are the posts that has more views than ever.
Isn't that interesting? You know,
yes, because probably people think the same thing, but some people are afraid to engage on those things because they work for corporate.
That's a great point. But they'll read the whole thing, so the view will register, but they're going to be scared to like it because it's too bold or it's too bold
and too direct.
Totally.
Because most of the things, when I share my opinions, they have a target.
Gotcha. Well, again, that's that thoughtfulness. That's that intentionality. You're not, you know, walking into Starbucks just saying something inane. There's a purpose behind the messages that you're sending. I think that intentionality comes through. And it's not just a bunch of words on the page.
That's part of what I have earned on the platform from many people is respect.
Yeah.
You know, because I haven't changed. This is who I am.
Right.
I mean, this is who I was last year, before last year, 3 years ago. So I haven't changed. The only thing has changed is my wrinkles.
You must have a filter on, because I'm not seeing too many right now.
I don't have any filter. is the eyelashes?
I don't see. It's looking good. We are looking good today. Yeah, but I think that authenticity is a big one. I know I keep using a dead buzzword, but I don't have a better word
for it. That word for me is dead. Completely.
I get that it's been overused, but authenticity, you know,
and bring value. Bring value and authenticity.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about bringing value.
Are those words that they are completely born on the platform.
But at some point, it was
part of... Stop talking about bringing value. You bring the value.
Yeah, but I'm saying, what does that mean? What does bringing value mean? I get that it's now been chewed up and spit out, and it's a buzzword with no meaning. It's overused, but there's some spirit behind it that I think is still in play. And so, what is that? And how do people add value?
I mean, do you think that one story of my life could bring value to somebody?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's value.
Okay.
When you share the picture of your son asking you if you are going to work forever, that was value for me. And I completely relate with that picture because that was what my daughter kept saying since she was nine. When are you going to stop working? Are you going to work tomorrow? Why?
Yeah.
You know, so that was my daughter.
Kids ask me every morning. They're like, why are you going to work today? And I'm like, well, it's Tuesday. Yeah. So I got to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's value, right?
Right.
Because for some people, they can change it, but they don't have yet the courage to do so. But when they see that you are struggling, you know, they will start following you because they want to see how you manage it.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's this guy in the ethics and compliance community, and every Sunday he puts out a really thoughtful post, and it's something that's super tactical. And he's really elevated to a thought leader just with that consistency and by, you know, quote unquote, adding value to the platform that is actionable, that people can take and grab and start implementing into their life. It's so easy to do. Everybody has a whole list of best practices. They have a whole list of experiences and things they've been through, personal, professional, whatever. Putting some of that out there with a focus on others, there's just so many positive benefits of doing it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So where do you think LinkedIn is going to go? And it's 5 years from now. How do you think this whole platform will have changed? How do you think this
platform has changed a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, I mean, it's great. I mean, I like the LinkedIn Help has been an amazing tool for all of us as a community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for many reasons, something happened in your account, they are very, very there. I mean,
yeah,
like
they're responsive.
Responsive. You know, when you open a case, I mean, people really go and help you
mm-hmm.
with what you're going through. I mean, I'm very thankful for it. And I will not be saying this, you know that very well, if it's not the case.
Yeah.
Right? So, I believe that the platform is going to continue evolving. I don't know, you know, how many we are until today, but I think that as much as you engage with different people that you don't know, is how the people that you want them to see, how they're going to find you.
You know,
because if you are with the same circle of people all the time, you are doing the worst mistake ever. Because
right.
The same people that you engage every day has this probably the same people that you are connected with. So everybody's
great
seeing
point.
Each other their posts.
Yeah, and it
so
turns into this circle, you know?
You know, today I have a great contract from somebody who told me, I don't know how you show up on my feed, but you start showing up on my feed suddenly.
Wow.
So every post that you post, I see it on my feed. Now I follow you. Now I want to hire you. You see?
Yeah.
So it's up to you how you want to be exposed. If you are in your own circle, that's why I posted the other day, just stop following or engaging in people who has thousands of millions of followers, including me, if they don't want to.
Right.
But, you know, if they want to create their own community, they need to start with people who has the same number of followers and start creating groups of people that they like each other things, that
right.
they are aligned with their message.
Right.
So they become your connections. So this is how communities start.
Right.
It's not like, you know, telling everybody connect with me. No.
Yeah, that is dead. That is over.
Yeah,
I'm not seeing it that much anymore. Like, remember those posts where guys would be like, hey, everybody connect with each other in the comments or something. Like, I haven't seen a lot of those. I don't know if it's because I've unfollowed
those
kind
of people.
Because
it doesn't
work.
No, it
doesn't work. Well, it's meaningless. It's meaningless because there's no connection.
Do you remember that I said stop doing that?
Well, I don't think I've ever done that.
Yeah, but I posted and I said stop.
Oh, yeah, 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 exactly.
You know, this doesn't work. It works only with people that really, you know, there is a lot of people who has never followed me, who doesn't know about my content, right?
Right.
But today, because somebody liked my content, they saw the post of today and my post went viral, right? Because
right.
other people start liking my content.
Right.
So it's up to you if you want to be in your little bubble or if you want to start engaging with other people and start being nice with people who just start.
Right.
Because remember when you started. I mean, you know, you need to remember that everybody started from zero.
Right. And, you know, I think the fact that you've been able to maintain that seed that you just shared, you've been able to maintain that as you've rocketed past the 30,000 limit and as you've rocketed past 100,000 and past 1 million and on toward 2 million, the fact that you've been able to retain that spirit and that heart, I think says a lot about you as a
person.
Well,
Nick, first of all the followers that I have and all the people that is my connections are my connections. All the followers that I have on my connections are the solid rock of my business.
Yeah, right.
So why am I not going to help them if they help me?
Right. Right.
Come on, we are a community. This is a community. This is not that divided. I mean, if you're rude, goodbye. I'm going to tell you the things the way it is. And I don't care if you go and tell another 100 people that who I rude I was. That's fine.
Right.
This is what you believe. But if you are rude with me, you know, I can be a little bit Mexican.
Yeah, you do have a little Mexican in you, don't you? So let me ask you this. What I've seen happen is people fall off of the wagon quickly. They're hot and heavy. They start posting. They're getting a little bit of traction. And then they have a couple of posts that don't get any traction for whatever reason. And then they kind of give up. What do you tell somebody who's maybe susceptible to that type of an outcome or somebody who's going through
that?
It is
not
right
about
now.
Their post. I mean, they need to really write something that is going to, you know, bring people's attention, right?
Yeah.
But people doesn't have to take it so personal. I have friends who have told me I feel terrible when people doesn't engage on my post. You know, I feel that everybody ignore me because they have views. But people need to understand that many people on LinkedIn doesn't engage at all.
Right.
They're just reading.
Right.
But when they need your services, those are the people that hires you.
Right.
Right? The silent ones, the quiet ones.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. It's pretty crazy. So it sounds like your advice would be don't look at each post and just, you know, get so frustrated if you're not getting
traction. I mean, you're
going
to get likes if you give likes.
Okay.
I'm not saying that you're going to go like me because I don't have time to go, you know, but sometimes I want to go like if there are people who, you know, that I know and I see that they have no one like.
Yeah.
Well, you're not going to give them one like for.
Don't get me started on that whole thing. Like if you see something that you like, you should like it not for anything other than to give that person a little serotonin drip or a dopamine
exactly.
drip or whatever happens in their mind when they get a like. Yeah. Just throw it out there. Guess what? Likes are free.
Yeah. And you know what you do with that person? Of course, you have to read the post that is going to align it with who you are and your values.
Yeah,
right?
Of course.
And
yeah.
You're not going to post. You're not going to like something that's not.
Contrary. Yeah.
But, you know, what you do doing that is you help that post to go have one more chance to go back to the feed and to have more likes and more attraction.
Right.
So why not to help?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I think people have different personalities. You know, maybe they're worried about the corporate thing. You know, I've talked to a lot of folks where I've tried to encourage them to do it and they say, well, I can't do anything sort of personal because I work for a company and blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, you know, you're doing personal things on your sales calls. You're doing personal things when you're connecting with somebody else in a different department, right? There's some, you know, we're not robots and automatons, you know, speaking mm-hmm. in ones and zeros to each other. There's energy exchanged and we're, you know, making heart connections with folks, at least the ones that we're building actual authentic relationships with. So putting that into this realm, I don't see... you know, a problem with it. I think people are a little bit too gun shy with respect to that type of thing.
I believe that too.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, but you know, it's everybody's choice and decision.
Yeah. So I got a good question. If you could go back to young Lorena, just coming out of high school, just coming out of college, and you could give her some advice that you wish you put into practice earlier, what would that be? What guidance would you provide the younger version of yourself?
I will have probably choose a different career.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yes.
Tell me some more about that.
I probably will continue being on sales, but I would like to learn more about, you know, business and how I could have, you know, because I could have been a business owner a long time ago, but I just didn't come to my mind,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I would love to have started earlier.
Interesting. So what made sales such an obvious choice for you?
Because sales is involved in everything, in any business. Sales is the most important department in any business.
It may be the most important skill also.
Yes, and the most important, you know, but sales is the most important department. That's why we salespeople get paid very well.
Right. Mm-hmm. But there's so much that somebody who's not in sales can learn from the sales approach, because, you know, yes. The thing that we talk about all the time is selling is a transfer of emotion. So if you're going to hire me, at some point I made you feel about me how I feel about me, and you've gotten comfortable with rolling the dice and bringing me on board. That sale is going to take place not from reading a resume, but from the interaction and the conversation and the type of person I am, you are.
Or send them a selling message after you connect with them, right?
Yeah, great point.
So I'm gonna give you a metamorphosis, you know that thing. So let's say that you're going to a dinner, right? So mm-hmm. I invite you to my house.
Yeah.
With your wife.
Yeah.
Right, and probably the children. Well, no, it's the first time, so you come with your wife. And would you go direct to the kitchen to get a Diet Coke from the fridge?
No, of course not. Never.
Why?
Well, because I'm a guest in your house. I'm not going to make myself at home and put my feet up on the counter and go and make a sandwich until I have permission to do that, you know?
Exactly, right? So you need to give the permission. Nobody say, okay, I'm giving you permission. But they need to be that kind of relationship between you and that person to be able to do that, right? So probably the next time you bring the kids, and then we all walk into the kitchen and I ask you to open the fridge and get a Coke from the fridge, right? But what makes people think that they can go to the kitchen of the people when sending them a selling speech?
I think it is a selfishness. It's a self-focus. It's a it's clumsy kind of. It's like bad etiquette. But all those things happen because it's like it's brutish or something. Like, but all that happens, I think, because it's a self focus and it's a me focus. It's not a you focus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think also, you know, the sales approach, it has to be different. You know how many times we have to really do things differently to earn the trust from the clients, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And when you are doing a whole presentation, I mean, our sales presentation was very good. You know, so we have it, and really it works.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely a step. And if you don't follow the your sales presentation, you will never develop that.
That rapport, yeah.
That rapport with people, because, you know, you cannot start your presentation or your hello, how are you, from the end of your presentation, which is the closing.
Good point. Yeah, you have to be building it throughout so that when it comes time for that to get that Coke, you won't feel like you're overstepping bounds, and the person whose fridge it is won't feel like you're overstepping bounds.
Exactly. I mean, how you're going to warm up somebody, say, hi, how are you? And right away, you know, send them the sales pitch. When I have those kind of things, I remove them immediately.
Yeah. Hey, how's it going? Want to buy something?
No, I've goodbye.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of rude. Yeah.
Even because I don't believe in that. That's very rude. No kind of rude. Very rude.
Yeah. So what are some other, like, you know, we talked about some best practices for personal branding. We talked about some best practices for LinkedIn. Where do you see people screw up on LinkedIn in addition to this kind of super forward approach when they just connect with somebody? Where are some other worst practices that you that we can steer people away from?
Not showing up.
Okay.
Because they are there anyway. They are, as I'm telling you, I mean, they are spending their time in the platform.
Yeah.
Watching everybody else growing. I mean, without thinking that their job, their position on the title, it could be on jeopardy.
Right.
So I think this is the biggest mistake that I see in the platform, that people doesn't start. They don't think about what can happen and, you know, just have it, you know. And it's not bad to have your digital presence in the end of the day.
No, it's not. And, it, you know, like we were saying, I just think it's such a tremendous opportunity. It can help you. Like, I've met so many people over the last year and a half that I would consider friends at this point that I've never even met face to face. I mean, it's totally crazy. You know, again, COVID notwithstanding, but I've met them on the platform because we look at the world the same way, or we're fighting the same battle. We're trying to make our workplaces better, or we're trying to make a difference in our corner of the world, or we're trying to make more inclusive spaces for people to unleash their God-given gifts. Those are the things that get me excited. That's why I'm fighting. And it's just, to your point, it's this crazy tuning fork that if you put that out there, you start to see all these other tuning forks that are attuned to that harmony or to that frequency to start vibrating with you. You know what I'm saying? Like, those connection points are there. You just have to jump in. You know, the thing I always say is a pool party is only fun if you're jumping in the pool. It's not fun to be at a pool party and be on the side. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man, come on. Right?
Yeah, right. Any other best practices that you would share? I just feel like we could probably talk for another hour easily. But I want to be conscious of your time. This was very generous of you to come on and share a piece of your day with us. Any other things that you wish everybody could sort of eat and digest or put into their brain and actually take action on? And it doesn't have to just be with respect to LinkedIn. This can be, you know, in terms of life or whatever. What would you say to our listener?
To respect each other, thoughts and beliefs. You know, I think that social media is a great place to really get to know each other. And we don't have to attack to each other with silly comments or derogatory comments to somebody that we don't know who that person is.
You know, so I see that so much, by the way, and it's very bizarre for me. Like, people think this is Twitter or Facebook or something. And there's no point in it. I mean, it's so negative. It just tears somebody down.
Yeah.
It's not adding any value. It's not keeping the conversation moving forward. It's just dumping a bunch of negativity on somebody's lap, you know?
Yes, I think that a lot of people, and most of those people are new on the platform. So they don't know what they're doing because they're closing the doors with many people, at least with me.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I don't tolerate bullying and I don't like that thing. And I always support people who has been bullied or attacked or mistreated because the way they look or their, you know, sex, gender, or, you know, or their way they talk or their ethnicity or religion. You know, I mean, everybody needs to really realize that we are in the same freaking world and we need to learn how to interact with each other and respect each other's beliefs. I mean, if you don't like what you read, scroll down.
Yeah, keep scrolling.
You don't need to read
that. Yeah, it's not that tough. It's not that tough to do.
Yeah, just scroll, leave it out, leave him alone.
Right.
You know?
I've just seen a lot of that over the last year, and I don't know if it's because of the pressures that everybody's under or whatever. It just seems to be ramping up to a new degree.
I've been under the same pressure, and I'm not doing it.
What's that?
I'm under the same pressure. And I'm not doing it.
No, I know you're not.
Under some pressure, and you're not doing it.
Yeah, I'm just saying the presence of this negativity on the platform seems to have increased a little bit over the last year.
Yes, it has. Yeah. It has. And the thing is, even though that LinkedIn has tried to control it, it's there is a point, the only way that we can control this is us.
That's right.
And he's reporting it and, you know, just don't accept it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good advice. I mean, yeah, we're all in this thing together, and we can all.
We need to decide how safe we want to have the place where we work.
Right.
Because you work on LinkedIn and I work on LinkedIn and everybody works on LinkedIn. You have your company, but you are on LinkedIn.
Right.
So this is our workplace for many of us.
That's true.
So we need to decide if we want to have a toxic culture in our social media place, or we want to have a no toxic culture.
I love that. I've never thought about it that way. But there's so many parallels to draw to a physical workplace, to this.
It is the same. Community. It doesn't change in anything.
That's true.
Doesn't change anything if you are, you know, you are sitting from the desk on the on Microsoft.
Right.
But if you're a jerk on social media, it is the same person. It doesn't matter.
Right.
So
do better. Yeah, do better. And also, you can always, even if you're disagree on everything, you can disagree on politics, you can disagree on all these different things, you can at least relate to somebody sitting across the table from you on the fact of humanity. You can at least connect on humanity. You can at least connect on the fact that we're going through the same human experience and that we have the same feelings and the same struggles and the same desires and the same, you know, needs. If you can't connect on that, then you're not going to connect. Then whatever you connect on is going to be tenuous at best. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Well, Lorena, I love your work.
Thank you so much.
You're one of my
Lee.
Favorite people. It's been a lot of fun to come on here. Thank you so much for everything.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, that you've shared. How can people find you? Where can people get in touch with you?
Here on LinkedIn. I'm very, when the direct message is well done, I'm well written, I'm well directed with the right intention, mm-hmm. I reply to them.
Okay. Well, very good. Well, follow Lorena. Thanks again, Lorena. This was so
Thank
fun.
You,
Until next time.
I love you.
Love you.
Bye.